Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And welcome in Wednesday edition of the program, live and underway here on the Big X. So glad to have you with us. Don't forget, we do this show each weekday. We're live at 11 a.m. And if you ever miss us on the radio, you can catch us as a podcast as well. Each afternoon, you'll find our podcast uploaded for free, of course, in Apple Podcasts and really anywhere that you may tune in to podcast. All you got to do is search for the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You can subscribe, you can listen on demand daily, and we're so glad you're with us. And great to be talking during this time. A lot of basketball to talk about, even though the college and high school seasons came to a close over the last few days. There are still lots of topics that you're probably wondering about surrounding IU basketball and the new coach, Mike Woodson. And a lot of those questions, since he has been hired from yesterday, moving back to his hire date, have been answered as far as assistant coaches and recruits and players on the current roster that are in the transfer portal. And we're getting down to just a few players left that have not yet announced their decision, what their fate is going to be. Are they going to stick it out at Indiana with Woodson? Are they going to choose a new location? And I think we're getting into an interesting time as well. Still one assistant coaching spot open, obviously, also, and some support staff personnel. Don't forget that there was a note last week or news last week that Larry Brown, former NBA coach, former college coach, 80 years old, is maybe interested in a support staff role, a non-recruiting role for the Indiana team. So still positions like that off the court, as I call them, that need to be announced and I'm sure decided upon. But I think we're getting to the point now where as Coach Woodson and his staff begin to figure things out and find out what next season very early on could look like, now it's time to really hit that transfer portal. And I'm sure that's already been going on to a great degree. But Xavier Johnson, the guy from Pittsburgh, is obviously a name that we've heard of. Will there be some new players come in to the program? And I think absolutely the answer to that is yes, there will be. And a couple spots still could be available via players coming in from the transfer portal. So that's going to be fun to follow. There's other names Indiana's been rumored to be involved with, nothing that's terribly serious. I think the player from Pitt is the one that probably stands out the most at this point. But don't be surprised in the coming days, in the coming week, if there's not an addition to this program. And again, I'm not assuming anything or telling you that I know something, but it just makes sense as the coaches begin to figure out who's back, what the roster could look like for next season, what the scholarship spread is like for the upcoming years. Maybe the attention turns more to trying to get a new player or two because, boy, the transfer portal is very, very active. There is no question about that. No surprise about that. It could become, as we've discussed some, with one-time transfers on the table here a few days from now at an upcoming NCAA meeting, could become even more commonplace, and we could see even more names enter the transfer portal. And I'm not sure if a record has already been set. The last time I looked or saw it was 1,250-plus names in the transfer portal, but I think we're clearly headed to another record if we're not already there, and we could blast past whatever that last number was in the portal if one-time transfers become something that are going to happen. And I think the feeling is, now that's been the feeling before, and it's been shelved, but I think a lot of that was because of the pandemic and uncertainty of things. But there's a great thought out there that one-time transfers are going to be allowed and enacted fairly soon. And that could really change the landscape of things in college basketball for next season and for forever, really, if you think about it. There's no question about that. Let's take a look at today's show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one coming up here in just a few moments. We'll have our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We got a few things to get to today. Not as big of a news day yet. Of course, anything could break at any time with all the news around this IU program that's happened and still to come. But Nebraska coach Tim Miles is back in the college game as a coach. He's a really good guy. I enjoyed following him on TV. We'll tell you about his destination coming up as well. Also, Kobe Barnes, Floyd Central graduate, had a great start to his career at Indiana State. He's got 3 years available because of eligibility. He's picked a new college, and he's going to go a little different route. I think it's pretty good for a year to see what he's got in the future. And so we'll tell you about his opportunities there. Also, some local players were selected to the Hoosier Basketball Magazine Top 60 Workout, which will take place later this month, and a lot of locals there that want to maybe try to play their way on to the Indiana All-Star team in this ultra-competitive year. And so we'll tell you about that coming up as well, and a few other things we'll cover here in this opening segment. Also, later in the show, we'll be joined by Dustin Dopierak of the Daily Hoosier. We'll talk the latest with the IU basketball situation. It spent a lot of time on Dane Fife. I saw someone sent me a photo from somewhere on social media. Sometimes it's hard to know exactly where things started originally, but he apparently is packed and ready and made the move down to Bloomington to get to work for Coach Woodson. And I think his addition and the retention of Kenya Hunter, I know we all get into players and who's coming back and who could be coming in new from the portal, but coaches in most cases are going to be there for some considerable time. And I think when you look at Dane Fife and Kenya Hunter, both of those guys you would think would be at Indiana working for Coach Woodson until they get a head coaching job somewhere. They're both that caliber of a high major associate head coach type person. And so as excited as it is to get excited about Trace Jackson Davis, and he means a lot for next year and for this program, don't misunderstand me, or for any player that's in the portal that's announced that they're coming back, I think assistant coaches, to me, they have been the biggest news since Woodson was hired, no question to me, because they are going to formulate and fill this program with recruits and help Woodson navigate the college basketball world, which he's never done as a coach before. And these guys he's got with him, Hunter and Fife, obviously they know the ins and outs of it. So big hires so far. We'll talk about that with Dustin. We'll talk about the guys. I know there's still some in the transfer portal. Race Thompson, I know people are concerned he could end up at Minnesota. It sounds like that is a possibility. Also with Armand Franklin, Illinois, some other schools interested in him. We'll check with Dustin on that coming up as well. I've got to believe, no matter what their decision is from Armand Franklin and also you know, for both of those guys, that a decision is coming up soon. I think between Race and Armand, you've got to believe that. And because for their sake, they need to find a new home and lock in with a new home, or they need to lock in Bloomington. And, of course, Indiana's got some openings, and if they were to lose both of those guys, they will really have some openings that they could go to the transfer portal with. And then I always forget, Joey Brunk is still hanging out there. I've not seen any confirmation whether he's coming back or not, but we'll talk about Joey Brunk with Dustin today when he joins us. Later in the show, we'll talk local sports with Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, presented by the Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. We'll recap Silver Creek State Championship. That was fun on Saturday. We've got some other postseason awards for local high school basketball players, which is not unexpected here in this very talented area. And high school baseball is underway. I saw last night New Albany and Silver Creek played. The Bulldogs got a narrow win over the Dragons. Floyd Central with a big early season win over Jeffersonville as well. Very talented Jeffersonville baseball team. Don't think they've put it together yet here in this early goings of the season. But high school baseball is definitely underway. We'll check in with Josh on the early season progress of that as well, and spring sports as a whole. Also, that's the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Check out their dinner package deals that are being offered. You can dine in, take them to go, and curbside service. It's still available as well at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's jump into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. I like this. Tim Miles, former Nebraska coach, he's done some TV work the last season or so. He is going to re-enter the Division I game as a head coach at San Jose State. It was announced yesterday. This is a good guy, a good coach. He had a tough go of it at Nebraska and really had him in about as good a position as they've been. Just couldn't get over the hump and was let go from his position there. Spent a year, as I mentioned, doing some TV work and some work in the media. Had a podcast. He was very entertaining. Brought a lot of insight to coaching, to what it is to be on the inside of the game. And so really cool for him to get back in the game. And I think San Jose State could be a good location for him as well. Also, some local news yesterday. Kobe Barnes, who was a great player at Floyd Central and meant a lot to that program as far as helping them get under Coach Todd Sturgeon where they are today, he announced when Indiana State went through a coaching change that he would enter the transfer portal. In fact, a ton of players on that Indiana State roster entered the portal after the coach was let go. And Kobe has heard from a number of schools, I understand, but he's going to commit, or he has committed to play junior college basketball at John A. Logan, and he will get re-recruited to the Division I level from there. He has 3 years of eligibility remaining at this point. He would be considered a wing player at the Division I level, and he is, again, somebody that had some interest. I mean, I have no question he could have went right to another Division I program, but the chance to play out the junior college ranks and get re-recruited again this year, probably a really smart thing for him, and so he's going to take advantage of that over in Illinois at John A. Logan, again, a junior college, and he'll be back in the Division I game very soon, I'm sure, with a number of suitors after him also. Also, local players, a number of them were selected to the Hoosier Basketball Magazine Top 60 Workout. This used to really be the big event at the conclusion of the high school season to get the 60 or so best seniors in the state together, and it was almost thought of as a tryout for the Indiana All-Star team. I'm not sure that I would go as far to say that in modern times. I think a lot of the All-Star decisions are already made. There's also some voting that goes into the process as well. But still nice to see local players get the opportunity to compete among the state's best. Locally, Jake Heidbreeder of Floyd Central and Cooper Jacoby of Silver Creek, they both have been invited and will attend that event coming up here in the middle of April. Understand that Silver Creek's Trey Kaufman-Wren, he was invited but will be unable to attend. I saw that Caleb First up at Fort Wayne Blackhawk, also a Purdue recruit like Trey, invited but cannot attend. So interesting to see if those guys have something going on or why exactly they couldn't make it. But nonetheless, we'll be represented with a handful of players from the area. There's no question that in most every other year, not all the time because Indiana's really, really good. We know that many years. But in most years, I think you could say that Jake Heidbreeder and Cooper Jacoby and, of course, Trey Kaufman-Wren, he is a lock. But I think you could say all three of them in most years are locks for the Indiana All-Star team. And you could also add in just a little to our west, Langdon Hatton at North Harrison to that list. In most years, he would almost be a definite Indiana All-Star with all that he has accomplished, all that those guys have accomplished in their careers. The problem is this year, this 2020 class, 2021 class, is absolutely just loaded. And there are going to be some really good players that do not make that roster of 12 or 13 or however many they keep this year. In fact, I feel confident you could make two teams from our state in the senior class this year and probably compete, if not beat Kentucky and beat a lot of other states' best players. That's just how deep this class is this year. So nonetheless, we hope that those guys can find a way on the roster. Talking specifically about Heidbreeder and Jacoby, I think Kaufman-Wren is safe for the All-Stars, and he's a finalist. He is right in there for the Mr. Basketball race, and I believe the All-Stars, that will be announced here next week, and Mr. Basketball should be coming up very soon as well. We'll kind of get an update on the Mr. Basketball race a little bit later in the week when Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star joins the program. Next headline for today, well, really, that's just about it. High school baseball, I mentioned last night, New Albany beat Silver Creek in a great game. Also, Floyd Central with a big early season win over Jeffersonville. And if you look at statewide rankings for whatever they're worth at this early point of the baseball season, once again, a number of local programs in the rankings. All three 4A programs, New Albany, Jeff, Floyd Central ranked, Silver Creek ranked in 3A as well and should be one of the favorites in that sectional again this year. So we could be set up for a pretty good high school baseball season. We got a lot of good individual talent as well, some really good pitching in the area this year. It's spread out among a number of schools, but no surprise that once again this year, Southern Indiana baseball should hold its own, do more than hold its own, should be very competitive as you look across things at a statewide level. That's a look at our headlines for this Wednesday edition of the program. We'll head to a commercial break. We're back with Dustin Dopierak of the Daily Hoosier. We'll talk IU basketball, the hiring of Dane Fife, the open assistant coaching position, and, of course, players in the transfer portal. Race Thompson and Armon Franklin will talk about that as well and see maybe when we'll find out what those guys' future looks like. Will it be in Bloomington? Will it be for another Big Ten team? Armon to Illinois, maybe. Race to Minnesota. We'll see how it all plays out. Or maybe they'll be back in the cream and crimson next season. We'll discuss that and more. Stay with us. A Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison continues after this. It's everyone's favorite tournament of the year. The golfers are in Augusta, Georgia to compete for the coveted jacket. And DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting you in the center of the action by giving you a shot to land in the green. This week, DraftKings is giving you 100-1 odds on the golfer of your choosing to finish in the top 10. If you haven't tried DraftKings, this is the time. Turning $1 into $100 is simple. Pick any golfer from this weekend's tournament, and if they finish in the top 10, you cash $100. 100-1 odds on an offer like this doesn't come around often, so sign up for DraftKings Sportsbook now to get in all the action and choose your golfer before the tournament tees off Thursday morning. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THR when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 if the golfer of your choosing finishes in the top 10 of this weekend's tournament. That's code THR to turn $1 into $100 for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Indiana only, new customers only, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back here on this Wednesday program, Dustin Dopierak with the Daily Hoosier, also host of the 317 podcast, is my guest. He's always with us Wednesdays to talk IU basketball and more. And Dustin, kind of sad, I guess that realization always sets in for me the day after the national championship game that March Madness has come to a closure, college hoops is done for the year. Thankfully, because of a guy named Mike Woodson, we have plenty to talk about movement-wise, news-wise in Bloomington this offseason. And with players coming and going into the transfer portal, maybe some coming into Bloomington from the transfer portal, and of course still an assistant coaching position open as well, I think still a lot of news ahead in the coming days for this program.
No, absolutely. It feels like a whole new season for Indiana, to tell you the truth. I mean, it obviously didn't end well if you're an Indiana fan. It wasn't, it wasn't particularly fun to cover down the stretch. And it seems like it's gotten more interesting. And I think, you know, certainly I imagine Indiana fans have more positivity going right now than they did really at any point in the last month before the season ended, or at least the last 3 weeks. So obviously a lot still going on. Got a couple more players still in the portal, still to make their decisions. Obviously, if either one of them or somebody, you know, or somebody else decides to leave, I mean, I think there's still an opening, even if they don't, even if they both come back. There's a possibility for a lot of movement still. Again, like I said, mentioned this, the third assistant job is still open. And I think Indiana fans, I think, are pretty pleased with what has gone on so far. I think a lot of what they would have put on their wish list after they got Mike Woodson was pretty high up there. I mean, I don't think they would have even known to ask for Thad Matta to be part of the staff. And they certainly, I think, were excited to get Dane Fife, because I think, you know, there are some fans that would have been, you know, maybe not satisfied, but at the very least okay with the idea of Dane Fife as head coach. So being able to add him to the staff as an assistant, you know, get him to make, you know, a lateral move basically from Michigan State is a big deal, I think, to be able to get him on. And it definitely creates a situation. It seems like they see the obvious sort of hole in Mike Woodson's resume, and they attacked it. They like everything that they, all of the other, you know, basically spots so far have been designed just to shore up his weaknesses. And it certainly, I think, been an interesting dynamic just to watch them put this program together as a whole, starting with Mike, but going further than that.
Talking to Dustin Dopierak of the Daily Hoosier. I want to get into Dane Fife a little more. I brought him up yesterday with our guest on the Tuesday program, but what a big hire, I feel like, for Coach Woodson and for Indiana. Obviously, an alumni returning home is the big storyline, but if you look at the career of Dane Fife as a coach, this guy has done it all. He's been a head coach at a mid-major program. He's recruited some very big names to Michigan State in the Big Ten Conference. He's helped develop players that have went on to have great NBA careers, and he's been a big part of success on the court as well at Michigan State. And as you talk about his addition to Indiana, how about Coach Izzo? You lose a guy that's as important to you as what Dane is, and he takes time to put out a very nice statement and congratulates Dane and his family on returning to Bloomington. Just a first-class guy is Tom Izzo. Really respect him, really like him, and nice to see something like that happen, because you lose somebody to a conference school. This goes for a player, and I can only imagine someone that's an associate head coach for you for the past few seasons. It's really not the most comfortable of situations. I mean, think about all the information that's changed hands and what he knows about your coaching style and your beliefs and your thoughts on how to play and guard different people in the conference. And now he's taking that to really one of your rival schools. So great to see. It's a good split, as healthy as it can be. And I think Dane Fife is just a huge addition for Mike Woodson.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think, I think Dane was interviewed someplace else. And said that Izzo actually told him to take the job, you know, said, hey, you know, maybe you could take that gig and you could be there, you know, when Mike wants to hang him up. It was obviously sort of an awkward situation, because I imagine Dane was probably waiting for when Izzo was going to hang them up. But all the same, I mean, he obviously could see, you know, what's his long-term desires, and looks at it as, okay, what's best for my guy. And I think that says a lot about, you know, coaches when they care that much about their assistants, when they're really looking at them and not saying, what can you do for me, but what can I do for you? You know, how can I make you a better coach? How can I help you get further in this profession? You know, that says a lot about those guys. And they're a lot like that. I would say the coaching fraternity is pretty tight that way, that if they've got somebody working for them and they can see an opportunity that's better someplace else for them to advance and get a quicker crack at being a head coach, they generally, you know, tend to push them in that direction. I mean, I think you saw the same thing with Matt Painter, just lost two of his assistants that both got head coaching jobs, in Micah Shrewsbury and Steve Lutz, now at Texas A&M Corpus Christi. I mean, they do a pretty good job of that. And Izzo's definitely one of those guys that wants the best for the guys that work for him, wants to make sure that they have an opportunity and a crack at it, you know, when their time comes, and sees opportunities. And it absolutely says a lot for Izzo. Again, he will be, you know, playing his trade in the, you know, basically in the conference. They're going to play against each other. Fife is going to know about his guys and what you have to do to beat his guys. And Izzo is confident enough with that. It said, hey, you know, basically looking at it, it's like, it's fine if you know that. You know, you guys are going to study tape on us anyway. If we can't get over that, then that's our fault.
Dustin Dopierak is my guest of the Daily Hoosier, talking about the addition of Dane Fife to the coaching staff at IU. One more position left as far as an on-the-court recruiter as well, based on NCAA rules. You get three of those guys, and still could be a big one out there. I think a lot of IU fans are hoping that Michael Lewis is willing to head back east and return to his home state. And, of course, he just spent a lot of time here with UCLA having a nice run to the Final Four and dang near to the national championship game, except for that Suggs buzzer beater there in overtime on Saturday. Mm-hmm. But any rumors, anything out there on that? I would think now that he's had time to get back home to Westwood and meet with Coach Cronin and do some of those initial postseason things that coaches do, I would think he would be getting prepared if he was going to make a move to do so.
Yeah, I would think so too. I mean, it'll be interesting. I do wonder. I do wonder how you look at it and say, okay, what all are the pieces that you need? And you know, was it an either or situation with Lewis and Fife? I'd be interested to see if he looked at it that way or not. You know, I mean, I don't know if he's got a guy out of those two that handles bigs, or whether Mike feels like he can handle bigs. You know, basically, what does that look like? You know, how does the division labor look like? And basically, are you looking at it and say, okay, you've already got your, you know, Indiana, you know, former Indiana guard on staff. What else do you need? That I think is going to be an interesting question. But I mean, it certainly would be a high powered staff to get Lewis and Fight. That would be, I think, a really big deal to get both of those guys. So we'll see. I mean, I'm not sure. I haven't heard any new rumors, but I think that's certainly a guy who makes sense as a target. But I think also, again, you have to ask the question, what all does Woodson want? He's got one spot left. He's got Hunter. He's got Fife. What does he, you know, what does he feel like those guys do? And what does he feel like he still needs? What's a hole in the staff at this point that he needs to fill? So I think that's going to be interesting. I mean, I don't know enough about Lewis's basically specialties, especially from an on-court development standpoint, as opposed to Fife, as opposed to Hunter. I mean, I think they were all guards. If they're all guards, you know, they got to get a guy who can handle bigs. And if that's Mike Woodson, fine. If it's got to be somebody else, it's got to be somebody else. I think that's an interesting question is what does he feel, what does Mike Woodson feel like is left to be filled on that staff?
You know, I've noticed when Kenya Hunter was retained, and we're probably looking way too much into this right now, but when Kenya Hunter was retained, and Dane Fife was hired, both announcements from IU, pretty brief stuff, but neither named either as an associate head coach. And under Archie right. Miller, I think Kenya was co-associate head coach. And, of course, Dane Fife the last few seasons has been associate head coach under Tom Izzo. So it will be interesting to see if this third person, when it's announced, whoever it is brought in and named the associate head coach, or if kind of waiting to see, all right, here's the three I have, who's the best capable to take over in his absence, or if Coach Woodson were to get tore up and get kicked out of a game, get a little mad, that could happen. Who would take over for him? Maybe he's waiting sure. to see who his three are. But nonetheless, probably looking too much into that. But people are curious, you know, is Dane Fife going to be the number two, or who's it going to be?
Sure. No, absolutely. And I do wonder maybe if that's a situation that he lets play out over a year, if he doesn't necessarily name a guy. You know, so I don't know. I mean, I'm not even totally sure, you know, who there's been sort of in his NBA past that he feels like is a true lieutenant to him that he might want. That's also a possibility out there. And I'm not even sure sort of who all is on that list of guys that might fit into that scenario. And Hunter's qualified, Fife's qualified. Those guys who've known, you know, when to call timeouts and, you know, how to do subs. I mean, they've had to run their own programs at some point in time. So, you know, they're going to be either way. I mean, he's going to be set. He's going to be okay with having guys that know how to do this. So, the last spot, I think, is going to be very intriguing either way.
Yeah, no question. Dustin Dopierak of the Daily Hoosier, my guest. We're talking all the storylines surrounding this IU program under new coach Mike Woodson. Got to ask about Race Thompson. Also, Armon Franklin, both have been rumored to be considering other Big Ten schools. Race maybe to Minnesota, where they have a new coach that's very active in trying to lay his foundation as well, making a pitch, I'm sure, to Race about what he could mean to play for his home school. And then Armon Franklin, it was reported over the weekend, had a Zoom visit with the Illinois coaches. And so that's interesting as well. I think both of those guys could play big roles next season. Coach Woodson so far has had nothing but good news in Bloomington, but at some point you expect that not every single player is going to return, and now we're down to Armon and Race that could be the two maybe that don't come back.
Yeah, no, it's definitely an interesting decision for both of them. I mean, I think you obviously look at Armon and say, okay, you know, Io just committed. So you look at what Io did, and if you're Brad Underwood, you can obviously sell that and say, you know, look what we did for Io. Look how much better he got in 3 years at Illinois. You know, I mean, he's going to be a first-round draft pick. I mean, you've seen how much better he got. You know, I imagine that they could say, hey, we look at you and see something similar. I mean, obviously, he's not the same type of player. He's not as explosive athletically, but he has a lot of similar skills. He has an ability to get his own shot. He has an ability to shoot from three, and has just become a much smarter basketball player. I mean, Armand really made some big strides, and you know, with not only with Io going pro and Adam Miller deciding that he's going to enter the transfer portal, I mean, there would be a real possibility at, you know, immediate impactful playing time for Armand Franklin at Illinois. And if he likes what he sees over there, that might be tough to pass up. That being said, he and Trace are obviously close. He and a lot of these guys are close. So I imagine that's going to be a tough one weighing on his mind. Race Thompson is an interesting situation, obviously, because you have the opportunity to come closer to home. You know, like Indiana is home for Armand. It's not home for Race Thompson. And I imagine he knows Ben Johnson pretty well. That's probably a guy that he's, you know, been around at some point. And I don't know how well Race fits basically the style that Mike Woodson wants to play. I mean, I think he can do it. And he can certainly do it on the defensive end. But on the offensive end, I mean, he obviously benefited from the fact that they were running two posts and he got to, you know, basically play with his back to the basket for most of the year. So it's like, are you going to move Trace Jackson Davis to a pure four in a four out one in offense? Are you going to go that far with this idea of developing his perimeter game to play Race at the five? Offensively. And if you're not going to do that, and if you want Race to play a four and Trace just to play a five that's more of a small ball five and move him around a little bit more but still have him play the center position, you know, what does that look like for Race Thompson? I mean, can he shoot enough to be out there all the time at the four in this, you know, more wide-open NBA-style offense? I mean, that's an interesting question Race Thompson has to ask, and I think I can imagine it being sold to him, hey, you have a chance to, you know, kind of build a foundation at your home school and start there and, you know, build something that's a little bit separate, and maybe you'll fit better into what they're doing in Minnesota and get more of an opportunity of playing time. I mean, I think, you know, Race is the guy that you look at and say he's the guy that could lose minutes. That based on the way that the style is different, and he had a terrific season. I mean, he was probably their most solid guy across the board in terms of being able to do it on defense, on offense, and just bring the intensity every single game. He really did. So, you know, again, if it's a situation where for all that he gave, he might end up losing minutes in a change of regime, then, you know, I could see why Race would want to go someplace else.
Dustin Dopierak is my guest. Xavier Johnson up at Pitt. He's in the portal. He's going to be a transfer. I think he's down to four schools. Indiana, one of those schools he's announced recently. A lot of people think Indiana could be in good shape with him. What do you know about him and how he could fit into things for next season?
Yeah, I mean, I know he's a pretty good athlete. I don't know too much about his game, but I do know, I've actually talked to some people that are on the Pitt beat, and they said that it sounds like he's very interested in Indiana. Now, another one of these schools that is on that list just won the national championship. Baylor's up there, and so that's obviously going to be a tough pull, a tough team to beat at this point, considering what they're coming off of, you know, considering how well they played, considering how well their, you know, big guards looked in particular and what those guys were able to get done. I don't know who all is going to go pro out of that group, but you have to think that there's some opportunities and there's going to be some good players to play with on that group. So that's not going to be an easy one to win, but it does seem like that Indiana is very much in it, very much has a shot at it.
Yeah, no question. Dustin Dopierak is my guest talking IU basketball today. It's going to be interesting, Dustin, here coming up, some big decisions, and I'm not sure if this is all going to be addressed at the same meeting or not, but you've got the chance for one-time transfers to be approved and could be enacted pretty quickly. That could even heat this transfer portal up even more, as we've discussed a lot already. The other thing, too, is what's going to happen this summer with recruiting? Is there going to be a period in late June for the college coaches to get out, watch the high school teams play? Is there going to be the July weekend of evaluation? I know the only thing I've seen with recruiting this summer for D1 coaches is that the NCAA has announced they are not going to have their academies spread out regionally across the country Of course, last year they were canceled because of the pandemic, and this year, very similar reasons, still connected to the pandemic.
Sure.
So going to be interesting to see what recruiting looks like, because for a new staff, I know the transfer portal is going to be probably recruiting piece number one, but for a new staff that's trying to get out there, be seen, Kenya Hunter's already got some connections and things going in some of the younger classes, but what they're allowed to do or maybe not do this summer I think is going to be extra important for the new IU staff.
No, absolutely, and you're also just you're starting to tack on more and more just how much these guys have not been able to see. You know, I mean, like just jumping in last year, you know, dealing with it last year, really over the last 12 months, and you know, just still you know having to continue these connections. But then they already had some base of being able to watch these guys, and you know, the summer before, in you know, in high school games, and having that be sort of open. You know, I'm sure these guys got to get to some high school games and whatnot, but. Really, there's going to be a lot of guys they haven't been able to see in high-level summer competition, and it's going to be an issue, like in terms of how they're making their evaluations and who fits and who doesn't. You know, if they go through another summer when they don't really get to see anything, that's going to be tough. That is going to change. I think you're going to end up having to make some sort of riskier guesses as to you know who's good enough, basically, without having seen them in that atmosphere. Not that AAU ball tells you everything, but it does tell you something. It does tell you what they look like, you know, when they're going against guys of their similar skill set, and not you know where they might be in a situation where they might you know play high school ball in a place where they can just beat everybody up. It's going to be different. It's an evaluation tool that they could be missing, and obviously it's going to be sort of up in the air. It just seems like everybody's sort of waiting to see, okay, how fast do the vaccines take? I mean, the numbers are getting better and better from that standpoint in terms of people getting vaccinated. I think I think we're up to 30% of people have at least one shot at this point. But you know, that's you still got to get to like 80, I think, for herd immunity. So the numbers are going in the right direction. They're going up. It seems like there's more and more shots going out every day, and that makes something like this more and more possible. But you know, you look at these events; they're very, very hard to govern in terms of who's allowed in the building. And so that's they're going to want to see some better numbers to feel comfortable with the idea of creating these things. And they're also big, you know, they're a significant investment when you're talking about, you know, the national tournaments, not just sort of the regional ones. And I'll be interested to see if they make some different decisions, if maybe the shoe companies make it so it's more, you know, more regional, more like it used to be when you have sort of more Fort Wayne running slams and fewer, you know, big old EYBL tournaments. How are they, you know, is that what it's going to look like for at least this summer? You'd have to think next summer be back to normal, but this one you have to think it's still kind of a hybrid version of what we've seen.
Absolutely. Dustin Dopierak of the Daily Hoosier. He also hosts the 317 podcast and is kind enough to join us as our IU expert on Wednesdays. And again, very, very busy few weeks, from the firing of Archie Miller to the hiring of Mike Woodson, and now all the things that go along with the transition period in college basketball. Yes, the college hoop season is now over, but there's going to be plenty of news to come. And as we let you go, Baylor gets it done on Monday night. We discussed the national championship game a lot yesterday, but what a surprise, I think, to a lot of people. But Baylor was playing great basketball there throughout the season, really, but especially in the Final Four. They really had two dominant performances.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think it is, as you're, you know, I was getting through about halfway through that game, you're like, you know what, we're not talking, as we didn't spend enough time talking about how good Baylor is, because Gonzaga was undefeated. You know, we sort of missed the degree to which this team was really, really good. I mean, they were number two all year. It's not like you know, they kind of came out of nowhere, even like UCLA did. I mean, they were phenomenal, and they did play in a tougher conference, you know, certainly the Gonzaga did. I mean, and like, I don't want to take anything away from what Gonzaga did accomplish, you know, being undefeated, and that's a really, really, really good team. I mean, Gonzaga would have won most leagues. You know, I mean, people were like, yeah, I had somebody told me on Twitter yesterday that they would have been a fourth or fifth in the Big Ten. I'm like, no, that's absurd. Like, look at those players. Look at Jalen Suggs. Look at Corey Kispert. Look at Drew Timmy. Look at Julie Ayi and Andrew Nembhard. Like, that starting five is as good as you're going to get anywhere. I don't care what league you're in. That being said, Baylor had a gauntlet, and Baylor only lost, like, what, two games? I mean, those guys are terrific, and they were just they were beasts. You know, I mean, they were as good offensively as, they were better offensively the other night than Gonzaga was. All year they were as good offensively as Gonzaga was, and they were a lot better defensively, and they were able to make stops in ways that, Gonzaga could not. And that night they happened to be shooting it really well when Gonzaga was missing a lot of threes. But they're terrific. I mean, Davion Mitchell is an unbelievable player. Jared Butler's terrific, and they've just got dudes after that. Macy O'Teague is really good. They've got so many players, and it's just like simply the fact that Gonzaga had the undefeated storyline made us miss the fact that we're talking about a team that comes out of this season with like two losses in a really, really good conference and pretty much blitzed its way through the tournament. I mean, like, Baylor's up there on your short list of best teams since the last unbeaten. You know, there's not a lot of better groups than you've seen over time. And I think that's a storyline that we're just now figuring out, because we spent so much time thinking about what Gonzaga could do that we sort of missed, that Baylor was also doing something really, really special. And it's not that much of a surprise that they were able to win this whole thing. That's a really good team.
Yeah, absolutely. Dustin, as always, thanks for the chat. Keep up the great work.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
We'll get ready to head to our final commercial break. One more segment still ahead. Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, will join. We'll talk some local sports. Silver Creek wins a 3A state championship on Saturday, followed by a big Monday night celebration for the boys basketball team there at Silver Creek High School. That and high school baseball, some other local topics as well. Stay with us for our final segment here of this Wednesday program. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. It's everyone's favorite tournament of the year. The golfers are in Augusta, Georgia to compete for the coveted jacket. And DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting you in the center of the action by giving you a shot to land in the green. This week, DraftKings is giving you 100-1 odds on the golfer of your choosing to finish in the top 10. If you haven't tried DraftKings, this is the time. Turning $1 into $100 is simple. Pick any golfer from this weekend's tournament, and if they finish in the top 10, you cash $100. 100-1 odds on an offer like this doesn't come around often, so sign up for DraftKings Sportsbook now to get in all the action and choose your golfer before the tournament tees off Thursday morning. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THR when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 if the golfer of your choosing finishes in the top 10 of this weekend's tournament. That's code THR to turn $1 into $100 for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Indiana only, new customers only, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back. Final segment on this Wednesday program. It's brought to you each week by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 t-shirt. They offer custom apparel to meet all of your needs, including t-shirts, uniforms, corporate wear, and promotional items. Let Major League Shirt Company outfit your team or organization today. You can visit mlshirtco.com to find out more. Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, joins. And Josh, we've got to start with a subject very familiar to listeners of this program. That is Silver Creek winning a state championship on Saturday. You were there, your sports team there, every step of the way in the postseason and for a great part of the regular season as well for Coach Hoffman and the Dragons. There were some very, very exciting moments in this tournament run where Silver Creek was able to hang on, but just enough to get the job done and bring another trophy back to Sellersburg. Just amazing.
Yeah, just an amazing couple of seasons. Three in a row, that's for sure. Three seasons in a row were great. But, yeah, just a great cap off to the careers for those seniors, especially Trey Kaufman and Cooper Jacoby. You know, it wasn't easy. You can use
whatever cliche you want as far as survive in advance or refuse to lose. But, I mean, it was really pulled out a lot of close games in this tournament, in their tournament run this year, that's for sure. And, you know, Saturday was no different right down to the wire, but, you know, they were able to hold off and win the game and win that second state title in a row. And, you know, probably, you know, could have been three in a row, who knows, but, you know, it was very likely it could have been, but just a great run for that team. And, you know, came to a fitting conclusion, I guess, for them on Saturday.
You know, there's no doubt that the Silver Creek team will live on in our memories and great teams here in Southern Indiana basketball forever. I don't doubt that at all. But that will always be the question, and there's nothing that Coach Hoffman or any of the players could do to control what happened in that pandemic season. But that will always be one of the things you think about and maybe feel a little sorry for with this team is, could they have reached – three in a row. Two in a row, it's been done. It's done time to time, but three in a row, that's a special feat in our state. It's been done before. Lawrence North, obviously the last team that accomplished that, but led by Greg Oden and Mike Conley, they were just a loaded team at that time. But you do wonder and I feel sure, of course, you could debate and argue things if you look back at last season, but I feel sure had it not been for a pandemic, the percentage that you could put on this team to win three in a row and for Saturday to have been number three instead of number two is a real possibility.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, only three have done it. You mentioned Greg Oden and Mike Conley, Lawrence North, and then Marion back in the 80s won three in a row, and then Franklin back in the 1920s, I believe, won three in a row. So, you know, Silver Creek would have been the fourth. But as far as that goes, heck, Fort Wayne Blackhawk might have been one too, and maybe even Carmel, because all three of them won their second consecutive state titles on Saturday. So who knows? It could have been a banner, multiple banner years for those guys. You know, Fort Wayne Blackhawk definitely could have had a three straight run there too. That's for sure.
Yeah, you're a good point. Talking with Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune. Josh, spring sports are underway. We had some good baseball matchups last night. New Albany, a winner over Silver Creek. Floyd Central got past Jeffersonville last night in an early season game. But I guess my point here is I think we're on to another good baseball season from what I've seen as I start to kind of dig in and chat with coaches, get ready for some of our upcoming broadcasts starting next week. I think we're in for what should be another really competitive local high school baseball season. Ultimately, at the end, you want to see who can have a chance to make a run in the state tournament, and I think we've got the possibilities for that, at least in a couple different classes this season.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I agree, too. Yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting. The, you know, 4A, all three of the 4A schools in Clark and Floyd counties, you know, Jeff, New Albany, and Silver Creek, any one of those teams could end up winning the sectional. You know, it might end up like the basketball sectional as far as that goes. I mean, you know, we thought that was really balanced, and any one of those three teams could have won. And, you know, that may be the case with the baseball sectional too, as far as that goes. But then, yeah, in 3A, you know, Silver Creek's going to be really good again. And then, you know, 2A, Providence and Clarksville are both good. And Class A, we've got Orton's good. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be it could be a really good season.
Josh, yesterday Kobe Barnes announced that he is going to we knew he was in the transfer portal, that a return to Indiana State was not likely, but he announced his next destination. It's going to be John A. Logan, which is a junior college in Illinois. He's going to play there, get re-recruited, and definitely have an opportunity. I think he'll have multiple opportunities to get back to the Division I level. So kind of a different path for him. He's going to drop down to junior college, which opens the door for the re-recruitment. But interesting to see that, and I think it'll all work out for him. He had a great start to things at Indiana State, and because of the bonus year with the pandemic, he's still got a lot of time left as a college basketball player.
Yeah, and when I talked to Coach Sturgeon about it somewhat recently, and he said that Kobe was probably going to go that junior college route. You know, he didn't get probably as much playing time that he would have wanted maybe at Indiana State, but you know, going to a JC will definitely give him an opportunity to kind of you know, play, start, you know, get as many minutes as he can, and try to, you know, draw the attention of some Division I schools again. And you know, Kobe's really you know, a versatile player, so I think it'll be a good move for him, you know, and just a great kid too. So hopefully it'll work out for him. But yeah, and then I saw Jacob Jones is going to Thomas More, another local kid from Jeff who was at Green Bay last year. So yeah, some of these guys are starting to make their decisions on when they're going to play next year.
Yeah, absolutely. Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, he's with us Wednesdays, brought to you by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 shirt. Josh, great to see you out at the ballpark last night. Those new facilities there at New Albany, Mount Tabor Field, the baseball field, also the softball field, very, very nice. Just the newest of great facilities, it seems, here in our area for spring sports. Look forward to catching you next week at a couple games as you cover for the News and Tribune. We'll be there with the play-by-play story here on the Big X.
Oh, yeah, it was just a great spring afternoon yesterday. Yeah, I went up to started at Floyd Central for some Floyd and Jeff baseball, and then saw some Floyd Mercy Academy softball, and then came down to New Albany for some more baseball and softball, and yeah, it's just a beautiful day, beautiful afternoon, and looking forward to more of those this spring, and you know, hopefully steer clear of some rain, and just enjoy the weather outside.
Yeah, absolutely. Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune. As always, Josh, thanks for your coverage, and we'll see you down the road here just a bit.
Sounds great, Matt. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
You as well. That's going to wrap things up for this Wednesday edition of our program. Back with you Thursday at 11 a.m. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall will join for the latest on IU. Will we find out something between now and tomorrow's show on Race Thompson and Armand Franklin? It's possible. There's no question about that. Stay with us for more coming your way at 11 tomorrow. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.